Revealing the Truth is a half-hour program designed to share the deeper truths from the Bible. We invite you to join us now for today's study and to consider the following.
Can a good tree produce bad fruit, and can a bad tree produce good fruit?
It has been almost 2,000 years since the Messiah has walked the earth. Satan has done much, from instilling pagan ideas into true worship to actually encouraging men to cover up the true names of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Our mission and purpose is to reach people around the world with the message of the revealed personal names of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua the Messiah, as well as teaching the salvational truths that have been neglected for centuries. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's time to prepare.
Welcome to Revealing the Truth. I'm John Fisher, and with me is David Brett. We introduced this section as pertaining to good fruit and bad fruit and good trees and bad trees. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that this idea about a good tree cannot produce bad fruit and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. It is throughout the scripture. In the beginning of Genesis, we read about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, mm-hmm. also the tree of life. And out of those two trees, there are two types of seeds. There's the seed of the woman, which is Yahshua, and this is the seed of Satan. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's where we distinguish between good and evil. And the way I kind of see that is that we are, as a nation, we are eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, the good people are eating from the fruit that's the good fruit, and the evil people are eating the other. But the objective is to eat of the tree of life. Mm-hmm. And that word life is not just living in, you know, flesh. It's the tree of eternal life as found in the book of Revelation. And so I'm asking this question because it's kind of the secondary picture of what comes before that. And what comes before that is this in Matthew 7, verse 15. Yahshua says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." The verses after that say, in verse 16, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." The phrase false prophets, beware of false prophets, means beware of those who profess untruths. Mm-hmm. And the phrase who come to you in sheep's clothing, This is figuratively saying those who are speaking of those who present themselves to you as gentle and willing to please, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, which means their intent is to destroy, consume, or use you for their own purposes. Mm-hmm. So this whole section is essentially about good versus evil. And it starts, and Yahshua starts out talking about false prophets, and then he goes into this division between good and evil.
Now, the question is, do the false prophets know that they're false? I mean, do they know that they're willfully doing these wrong things, leading people astray?
Well, that's an excellent question, yeah. Because ultimately what we're talking about is those who preach the Word. Are they preaching the truth mm-hmm. out of the Word, or are they not? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times I've heard the words, we're going to be teaching Bible truth today. You know, and it's like, really? Because when you look at the scripture, one person has suggested that a way of kind of understanding the scriptures is to pretend that you are a castaway on an island, and you can read and write, and you have a calendar, but this Bible drops down in front of you, and you start reading it. Well, which day would you celebrate if you knew what the days were? Now, who would you honor? Who would you bow down to? Who would you pray to? Mm-hmm. What holidays, what holy days would you celebrate? And if it's not in Scripture, if you're teaching something that's not in Scripture, are you teaching the truth? And I understand that not everything is in Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an encyclopedia of the world. But it's an excellent historical record. It's the word of our Creator who has given us His word through His Spirit of how He wants us to be. It's His will, not ours, mm-hmm. that is important.
Yeah, so I guess that gets back to the idea that, you know, if there's something moving us, and if it's Yahweh moving us through His Spirit, mm-hmm. then we're going to be in line with His word, or at least we'll be heading in the right direction.
Right.
Alternatively, Satan has his own ministers. I think he's able to influence people by his Spirit. Mm-hmm. Of course, it talks about his attitude, he's able to broadcast. He's the prince in the power of the air,
right.
Scripture talks about.
Right.
And Yahshua did make a statement. He indicated, well, he said, rightly so, the blind will lead the blind mm-hmm. into a ditch. I mean, something mm-hmm. along those lines.
Yeah.
So it does appear that maybe some of these individuals will not know just what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I fervently believe that there are many, many righteous people in this land.
Mm-hmm.
And they are being taught by people who do not teach the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they know it or not. And I've spoken to pastors before explaining the same kind of principles that we're discussing here on this show. And I've had pastors tell me, what you're saying is true. And one of them said, but I have a responsibility to my congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand that. A responsibility to the congregation. If he knows that what he's teaching is not true, then how responsible is he being to his congregation?
Mm-hmm.
And what I later judged in my own mind was that his responsibility was to provide for his family. His family is being supported by that church.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen if he went to the board of directors and said, hey, I've got this great idea, you know, let's move our day from Sunday to Saturday, you know, to Sabbath, and, you know, how long would he last as a
yeah.
pastor?
Mm-hmm. He'd lose a lot of the congregation.
And so, I mean, and the scripture warns us about, you know, we can only serve one master, mm-hmm. either Yahweh or Mammon, which means money.
Yeah. Interesting, you made the statement in your mind, you made this judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two ways of looking at judgment in scripture.
Yeah.
There's judgment and discerning,
right.
and there's judgment in condemning. And we're not to get into the condemning part,
right.
or, you know, saying who's
yeah.
going to make it, who's not going to make it, these type of things. But Scripture does say, because you'll know them by their fruits, what they do, what they teach, we should be able to discern, and that's where we are able to judge in that sense.
Yeah, and there's so many things in this life that distract us and take us off the path.
Sure.
One thing that I wholeheartedly attune myself to is the idea that the Scripture is the truth.
Yeah.
And if someone says something that's contrary to Scripture, then it's not true. And this, I mean, there's so many different issues. It's an issue of the language that we speak. What do you mean when you say the word righteousness, for example?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't understand the peoples who gave birth to the writings and Yahweh spoke to these peoples, and His Spirit caused them to put the ink down on the paper, on the word. We'll explore more of these chaotic things when we come back.
The appointed times or feasts of Leviticus chapter 23 were kept in the Old Testament, were kept in the New, and will be kept in the coming kingdom. The question is, why would we not keep them now? To learn more, request your free in-depth study entitled Biblical Holy Days. Write to YAIY 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll-free 1-877-642-4101.
As we were speaking of the confusions that beset us in this world.
Yeah, well, I mean, what causes that? What causes the chaotic system that we're in?
And yeah, well, Paul addresses this, actually. And if we go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, we'll read a little bit about how this all comes about, this confusion.
Hey, before we go there, I had turned to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. Speaking of fruit, I think we can see that as works, or not mm-hmm. only teachings, but sure. what a person does. Right. It says, therefore, it is not surprising, and this is speaking, let's back up to verse 14. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Whose end will be according to their deeds. Now, who decides what is right and what is wrong? I mean, that comes down to how we define righteousness. You know, it has to be defined by Scripture. So if a person is out of line in Scripture in both speaking and deeds, or if he's teaching the truth righteously, but yet then turns around and does evil deeds, I mean, we're able to discern, I think, a false teacher, minister, a person that's not in line with Scripture.
Right. And, you know, if you believe in the Bible and you believe in that the Creator is one, that He has always existed and that His truth has always existed, then what are we to think of the Scripture from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation? Mm-hmm. It's all true.
Yeah, and says not to take away or add to, but yet right. that's what we find with right. with teachings that have done exactly that.
Right. And Peter warns us, you know, that people who are not taught or who are irrational, I think that's not the word that he uses there, but take the Scriptures and twist them to their own destruction. So he's referring, of course, to being taught in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. To understand the New Testament, you have to understand those first. Many people make the mistake of reading the New Testament and trying to understand the Old Testament in that. And this is essentially ludicrous. You have to understand elementary school and junior high before you go to high school or college, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, say, like college is the New Testament. But if you don't have any education prior to that, then how are you going to succeed in understanding what is being taught in college?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. And so Paul addresses this issue of confusion in Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. And he writes, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, in other words, through argumentation, and empty deceit. And deceit is the word apates in Greek, which means a delusion, empty delusion. Empty would mean that there's a lack of spirit, there's a lack of truth in it. It's empty, devoid, and it's delusional. It's something that someone believes, and you can't talk them out of what they believe, mm-hmm. but they're teaching it, and it's translated as deceit. And certainly, it would be deceit if, you know, even if you believed that you were teaching the truth. If it's a delusion, which mm-hmm. is empty of the word, of the spirit, then it's deceit.
Yeah, I think as you continue, you'll be getting into the idea of the tradition of men.
Exactly.
And right. and even quoting verse 4, it says, let no one delude you yeah. with persuasive argument. It's talking about men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. right, mm-hmm. traditions of mankind. Mm-hmm. In fact, he says that in the very, very next phrase, I'll just start from the beginning of verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles, which literally means in the Greek, it's stoicheia. And what that means is the orderly walk, but not ordered by Yahweh. Men want to make rules mm-hmm. about how we should walk in our lives. And if they're not according to Yahweh's principles, then they are
man-made
traditional
rules.
Yeah, man-made rules. According to the basic principles, and the word basic there means foundational or
base.
It's the dirt. Okay. The basic principles of the world, and not according to Messiah. For in him dwells all the fullness of Yahweh bodily. Now, that word there translated in English is Godhead. Mm-hmm. But I'm using the word Yahweh here because the Greek, in the Greek we read tes theotetos, which means the highest authority. So the Godhead in English means the highest authority. And well, who's the highest authority?
Yeah, Yahweh is above the Messiah.
Almighty mm-hmm. Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. And so Paul is telling us here, oh, I didn't read verse 10. And you are complete in him, being Yahshua, who is the head of all principality and power, given that authority by Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paul is telling us that we are not to consider arguments based on tradition for our fundamentals of faith. Those who preach as truth the traditions of men are the ravenous wolves being referred to in Matthew 7, verse 15. Okay. So what are the traditions of men?
Anything
that's not in the scripture, right? Okay. So how many things are those? I mean, we can go through all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Christmas and Easter and Sunday worship. Mm-hmm. And these are not in scripture. No matter how you want to twist the words to make it appear, and no matter how much philosophical thoughts and arguments you want to make against the scripture is true in and of itself. Mm-hmm. The seventh day is the seventh day. It has never changed, and certainly has never changed since Messiah walked the earth, and since he has the power and authority of Yahweh, he knows when the seventh day is.
Now, wait a minute. You're not trying to put us under the law, are you, John? You're not trying to get us to go with that old schoolmaster.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Well, in a sense of the schoolmaster, I mean, yeah. It talks about the law that was added, and I think we see that as sacrifices, which never really purified a person. They'd go back and just do what they did. But with the Spirit today, a portion of it, we're given help. And in Messiah, mm-hmm. the death penalty is taken away from us. We're not justified in our own works, but we are justified in him who did the work for us.
It gets complicated. And I said, yes, I am trying to teach that we're under the law. It depends on what you mean by under the law. I mean, you can be under the law, meaning the heavy weight of the law upon you because you do not believe in the Messiah. And
the death penalty of the law.
That's under the law. The people who now are, quote, under that law in that way mm-hmm. are in jail. Yeah. It doesn't mean that people who have committed crimes are not in jail or not under that weight. They are. Because we're all going to be judged mm-hmm. by Yahweh in the end. And so the key to understanding what Paul is saying, at least, is that we are to understand that being under the law is being under the penalty of the law.
Did you know that the Heavenly Father's name has been purposely covered up in the Bible almost 7,000 times? It was done in an effort to protect people from blaspheming the sacred name. But because of this doctrine, people have broken the third commandment. It's time to come out of man-made errors and into the true worship of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. To learn more, request your free in-depth study entitled The Mistaken J. Write to YAIY, 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit us online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll free 1-877-642-4101.
We were speaking of the confusion that occurs when people begin to argue the points of the Bible instead of understanding what exactly the Scripture says. We, in our society, we want to argue, and that's the result of Western thinking, not Hebraic or Semitic thinking. Mm-hmm. And so we see so many different names of churches and different philosophies about, you know, what the Scripture says. And the thing that kind of strikes me is that everywhere, all the radio stations, TV stations are teaching things that are not from Scripture. And it's sometimes I just get frustrated in thinking about the fact that all these untruths, because they're not in the Scripture, are being presented out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you've got a good point there. And this book that we're currently looking at, Colossians 2, is a prime example. Colossians 2 is Paul addressing the Colossians. He's speaking. He's saying, don't do the traditions of men. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Paul's hard to understand. He goes through this and he uses wording that can be taken a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. But he says in verse 15 of Colossians 2, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And then it says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or respect of a festival or new moon or Sabbath day. And men take this to mean Paul just said, you don't have to, you know, do these things.
Right.
But that's not what he's saying. In context, the wording dogma is actually used. Mm-hmm. And dogma is defined in Scripture in the various places that we can look, is basically man-made rules.
Mm-hmm. Who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to a Gentile people, mm-hmm, who have been brought up in paganity, and he's saying, your friends are going to condemn you for these new beliefs. Don't pay attention to them, but honor what we're teaching you.
Yeah. Now, verse 17, he goes on to say, things that are a mere shadow of what is to come, and I think it's best worded, body of Messiah is to judge here, because mm-hmm, it says are, not were, and so what's coming is better, but we have to do things to learn about what's coming. Mm-hmm. And as Yahshua came not to destroy or put away or cover up, he actually came to fulfill, mm-hmm, fill up, magnify, bring to light. And he started talking about the Ten Commandments and thinking about those in a better way, mm-hmm, a more emphasized way. But going down in verse 20 of Colossians, it says, if you have died with Messiah to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees? That's wording is dogma. Mm-hmm. But, and people go back to, Sabbath and feast days. No, that's not what's being said here. In context, it goes on to describe what these decrees are. It says, such as, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use. In accordance with the commandments, not of Yahweh, in continuing it says, the commandments and teachings of men. Mm-hmm. This is what's being addressed in Colossians 2. Now, when we look at the overall big picture that's happening here, I mean, we talked about Peter and how he describes Paul is hard to understand. It's important to understand that Paul's writings are what are being brought out by men to teach that the law is done away with.
Right.
It's very interesting because Paul, or Peter, I should say, says, let's go back to verse 14, 2 Peter 3, verse 14, starting there. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him, by the Master, in peace, spotless, mm-hmm, blameless, mm-hmm, no one can point to you and say, well, you're sinning. Verse 15, and regard the patience of Yahweh, or the Master, as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Now, Paul himself seemed to understand that he was hard to understand. And what I mean by that is he would talk about faith, he would talk about grace, he would talk about these things. And then he would end by stating, so shall we sin because we are under grace? Shall we break Yahweh's instructions because we have faith? Yahweh forbid. He clarified himself when he went through these things. Verse 16, continuing, it says, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught, unstable, distort as they do with the rest of the scriptures to their own destructions. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, I'm telling you beforehand, be on your guard so that you do not get carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Now this translation, New American Standard, says unprincipled. That sounds kind of light, but what it's saying is athesmos, it's Strong's 113, and it's defined as one who breaks through the restraint of the law. They're lawless men. They're wicked, the King James Version says. These are not just, you know, slightly off kilter. They're fully off kilter and on the broad way, which leads to destruction. Mm-hmm. And they bring up Paul's writings. Peter says they do.
Yeah.
And he warns us. He warns us not to be led astray by them.
Well, it sounds like Paul also can, in a sense, read the minds of the people who are listening to them, to him, understanding what they used to believe. And so that's why he would ask the question, so shall we sin so that more grace should abound? You know, and they might be thinking that same thing. Mm-hmm. And so he, before they ask the question, he answers it for them. And of course, I mean, Paul has never, ever denigrated the law of Yahweh.
No, he says it's good, it's righteous, it's holy, you know, and right. We're to be a holy people.
Right. And he asks the question, does our faith do away with the law? And he says, you know, Yahweh forbid.
Absolutely not.
Our faith does not do away. In fact, he says it establishes the law. It establishes the Torah by our faith. And faith is not just believing, but it's doing. I'll always go back to James' writing when he compares a corpse, a body, that does not have the spirit in it, you know, the body spirit in it, mm-hmm. and faith and what gives life to the faith. He says that the spirit of that person gives life to that body. But what is it that gives life to one's faith?
Works.
So he's comparing the body to faith. He says your faith is dead. So it's a corpse laying on the ground. Mm-hmm. The spirit he's equating with works. How powerful are works? If we can look at the spirit giving life to a body, mm-hmm. how valuable is it when we are able to do good works?
And Paul himself said he submitted to the will of Elohim within himself, to the will of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And he says he also with the mind he obeys. Right. We're to do the same thing.
We are to do what Yahweh wills us to do.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time as we look into more of Yahweh's Word and His revealed truth.